great songs. There's a song in the air. Praise God. Well, we're going to move to the Word this morning now. And last week I was sharing with you some things pertaining to the transition we're making, going from Thanksgiving to gift-giving. We give thanks, but then we're now entering that time. We're going to giving of gifts, and that's an exciting time. It's exciting for all of us, especially for the kids. They love this time of year, not knowing what they're getting. They kind of let you know. Some of them will sit on a Santa's lap somewhere and whisper in his ear, and then it's passed on to you, or however that works out, and you get the gift. Giving the gifts that come at Christmas time. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. People like to get gifts, especially if it's something that they want or need. And in the midst of all this merrymaking that happens this time of year, it's amazing how Christmas affects society. It's really broadcast throughout the world through the media. When it comes Christmas time and we see the big ball come down in Times Square, you know, in the New Year's that follows Christmas and all of the festivities, oftentimes the stores are still decorated. And all of this merriment that goes along with this time of year, this season, Christmas, and it does have an effect even on those who aren't Christians. The Christmas season is something that is set aside as a very special time of the year. In this culture, in our society, and also in many other lands throughout the world. And still the folly continues. What folly? Well, it's the folly of those who show their ignorance and disdain for God. For some, Christmas just drives them crazy. Have you noticed that? It was somewhat subdued for years, I think, through the upbringing of most of us, but in recent times, perhaps in the last 8 to 10 years, it's been getting more and more vocal and more obvious in society. It's something about Christmas just drives some people off. They're just off the wall about it. It's just something they have a hard time handling, this thing called Christmas. They hate it when society gives displays of homage to a baby that was born 2,000 years ago. Think of it. It's all about a baby that was born 2,000 years ago, and the world pauses for a moment in time to give homage, or at least recognition, to this great event. News item, you might have seen it or heard it on the radio or TV. An organization called the American Atheists has posted a billboard out of one of the busiest thoroughways we have in the country. It's just outside the Lincoln Tunnel that connects New Jersey to New York City. And on this billboard, it portrays the biblical magi that are making their way to the Christ child. And then it contains this text written on the billboard. You know, in big letters, it's a myth. This season, celebrate reason. Big sign. I mean, thousands of people every day. If you were going to pick a spot where you wanted to get a message across, you probably couldn't pick a better spot. Right there at the near the entrance of that tunnel, and all these thousands of people make their way every day, and there it is, a big billboard that's being advertised by the American Atheists. And you know it's a myth. This season, celebrate reason. Well, it's glad to see that somebody is taking a stand. In fact, on the other end, on the New York side, a Catholic organization decided to take out a billboard. And they took out a billboard, too. So on the New York side, their billboard reads this way. You know it's real. This season, celebrate Jesus. So you have the two views. I guess going through one way, you know, dispel all faith and embrace reason. On the other side, it's embrace the Christ of Christmas. I'm glad we have some fight in some folk. You know, there's a time when you need to stop being intimidated and you need to take a stand for what is true and what is right. And It's good for God's people to do that. You don't have to be obnoxious, or you don't have to be ornery about it. You don't have to be in some way obnoxious about it. You can just state your position and let your faith shine during this season. And I've encouraged you to do that. And I was thinking about this again, and as I do each year this time when I see the opposition, you think that after certain victories are won in court that this will kind of go away, but it's not going to go away. And I want to just let you know that the Bible declares, and it's a prophetic thing, that things like this will continue, and they will become more intense, and there will be more pressure, so that there will come a point in time where society in general, and I'm talking on the worldwide stage, they will hate you because of the name of Christ. So don't think it's just going to blow over. Don't think that it's just going to go away. If prophecy is true, it's going to get worse. That's just a fact of life. But that doesn't mean you become so intimidated you don't say something. You still take a stand, and you still, in the face of adversity and opposition, you still declare the truth that God so loved that he sent his son, and that's the precious gift of the Christ child that we celebrate this time of year, and that rings true in our hearts, and we proclaim it, we declare it, and we're not ashamed of it. We stand upon the truth of God's word, which is eternal. It's one thing wonderful about the word of God. Once God speaks, he doesn't take it back. It's not, oh, I made a mistake, a slip of the tongue. I misspoke. Here, isn't it interesting how many people nowadays are misspeaking? They'll say something, they're caught in it, and they're embarrassed. They say, well, I misspoke. God never misspeaks. And when he speaks into time from out of eternity, it is sealed because of who he is. And this word that we so revere is authoritative, not because man wrote it down or you and I declare it. It's authoritative because God Almighty of all the ages has spoken into time, and he said, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I have done, and this is what's ahead, and it is sealed because of his authority. Don't mistake it. The Bible is not a book of myths. It's not a book of fairy tales. It is a book of truth, eternal truth, that will stand for all time and will endure. And when the last atheist breathes his breath on this earth, there still is an eternal God in heaven who reigns on high, who will welcome his own into his heavenly home. Be not mistaken. And so we live in such a time when there's all kinds of railings against the things of God, and it seems to be building up. And some people think because there appears at times to be a majority voice that maybe there's something wrong with what they think if they're not in that majority position. And I want to declare to you that you, the only majority you have to be concerned about is God's majority, that heavenly majority, the myriads and myriads of angels in heaven who stand at the beckon of our Lord and our God, and they are sent throughout the earth as emissaries to and messengers of God's goodwill to do his divine purposes. Those myriads, I'd be more concerned about that majority in heaven than any majority here on earth or in our society. And I thought, you know, the entire word of God is harmonious. It speaks to these divine truths. And I went back into the Psalms, and even in the Psalms, and we don't always think of the Psalms as being having a Christmas theme or talking about Christmas, but you know it does declare some of the things of God that are precious to us. And back in Psalm 145, and reading from verse 17 to verse 21, it reads like this, that the Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. And the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry. He will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Then the psalmist says in verse 21, my mouth will speak the praises of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. I am so thankful the day is coming when there won't be all this outcry against the Christ. But there's a day coming when all flesh will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And to think it started back in a little manger in that humbly place in Bethlehem nearly 2,000 years ago. And all the glory of that moment when all creation will arise and extol the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the heavenlies. That day is coming, my friend. Christmas celebrates God with us. God with us. Why is it so special for Christians? It's because it emphasizes this truth that the eternal God is not distant. He's not far off. He is present with us. And in that simple story of Christmas, it reminds us of that. That little baby who could be held by Mary in those humble settings that are portrayed around that manger scene. That God was so concerned. God has come down. He is with us. With us. Christmas celebrates that fact. God with us. The very name of the one we serve. In Matthew's gospel, the first chapter in verse 23, it reminds us, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Isn't that encouraging? That you need not go through life facing all the difficulties you face alone. You say, why, everybody's forsaken me. Oh, no, that's not true. Not if you're serving the God of the ages. God is always with you. He never leaves the righteous. The God you serve, his name is Emmanuel. Does it make a difference, the name of the God you serve? Oh, yes, it does. Most gods have passed off the scene. They're no longer around, or they're just a figment of someone's imagination or someone's wishful thinking, but not the God you serve. The God you serve, his name is Emmanuel, God with us. He is alive. And you are never alone because he is ever with you. God with us. What a wonderful God we serve. Who is the God you serve? Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Emmanuel is his name. He is the God, the ever-present one. The one who was and is to come. He is eternal in his being. No other gods are like that. Every other god that is served is man-made. It's the figment of someone's imagination. Someone's desire. But not the God we serve. He existed outside of us and beyond us. He is eternal, and our Christ, the Son of the living God, he ever lives now to aid us and to help us in our time of need. God desires to have fellowship with us, and so when we talk about the joy of Christmas, Christmas really is celebrating God's presence when you think about it. We celebrate his presence in that humble setting in Bethlehem, with Joseph and Mary. But we celebrate his presence when we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate his presence in this present time. His presence in the world. His presence in the church. His presence in us. God with us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. If you go back to that psalm, it reminds us of several things. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. I I shudder sometimes when people blame God for ill. Something's not going right in their life, and so they turn and they rail against God. They don't rail against the enemy. I don't hear a lot of people cursing Satan out. But they'll curse God out. Think about it. The real evildoer, he gets a free pass. But they'll curse God because something goes wrong in their life. And they'll blame God. They don't blame the real enemy of their soul. The one who causes all evil to exist and causes all these tragedies that come our way oftentimes. And that's not the will of God. That's not something that he's not a sadist. He doesn't love to see us squirm. He doesn't like to see us stew in our difficulties. That's not the God we serve. The Emmanuel God who is with us has come to aid us and to help us and to see us through life and to point us in the right direction so that we might enter into his eternity. That's the God we serve. So the Lord is righteous in all his ways, kind in all his deeds. It goes on to say this. And note, these are facts, these are truths, they are written down in the Word of God. They are unchangeable. The skeptic says there is no God, but the Word declares the Lord is near, first of all. He is near. He's near. He's not far off. There are different views of God that people have. Some have what we call a deistic view, and they think that God might have been the first cause, but then disengaged himself from the affairs of mankind on earth, and he's just back kind of watching things, and he's high and lifted up, he's lofty, but they don't understand and they don't appreciate that personal contact with God that we have, and we sometimes refer to these people as deists, but I want you to know I believe God is high and he is lifted up and he is exalted above all, but he has also deigned to come and communicate with me personally and with you. And Christmas shows us the love of God and the majesty of God, a God that is so high and above us that could so contrive and think of a way that he could have communication with us on a personal basis. So he sends his son in the form of a baby. You want to know what God is like? Well, you look at Jesus. That'll tell you a lot about what God is like. The way he thought, the things he did, the way he lived his life. You want to be God-like? Then live your life like Jesus. Those little wristbands the kids wore a few years ago, you know, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Really, they came a fad. I'm not sure every kid wearing those knew the significance of it. But that's a good question to ask. What would Jesus do? Because if you can figure out what Jesus would do and then do it, you'd be on the right track. That's the whole idea. Why? Because God loved us so much. The transcendent God has come down to be near to us. God is near. God is near. Declared it in Psalms. The Lord is near to whom? He's near to all. And I think that's a wonderful truth, that the gospel we preach, it's not just for the Western world. It's not just for a small group within humanity, but it is universal. People wonder, why do you Christians have to go out and try to evangelize? Well, because the God that we serve is not just our God. He has come down to be near to all people. And so we must get the message out and part of our being who we are. Our Christian identity is wrapped up in this destiny that we have as Christ's representatives to present the gospel to those who haven't heard. He is near to all. It's universal. Christ is. He is for all people. He is for all people all time. And unfortunately, that message is rejected by many. They might say, well, Christ, I'll grant you, Christ may be for some people, But why do you have to say that Christ is for all people? It's because it's revealed in His Word. His Word doesn't say that Christ is just for a few. It's for all people. And we are told to go and to spread the message. All people, yes, but for all who call upon Him. Because the Lord is near to all who call upon Him. It's not enough to know that God exists. It's not enough to believe that there was a baby called the Christ, Jesus, who was born and laid in a humble manger in Bethlehem nearly 2,000 years ago. And that's not enough. That's not enough. It's for those who call upon Him. You must recognize your need. You must say, I've got a need. In the presence of the Christ child, when I think of the Christmas story, and there are different scenes that come into your mind because there are certain events that surround it. But the one that is oftentimes most touching is that of the Magi, these learned men. And some believe they were sages, they were wise men. Others refer to them as kings. We're not exactly sure of their station in life, but we know they were venerated people. They had to be to bring the costly gifts that they brought to the Christ child. So they were venerated, whatever their position was, wherever they came from, those who came out of the East. But the picture, and you've seen it many times, I'm sure, is them on bended knee, with heads bowed, with raised gifts to a baby. Now we know that they really weren't there. It was sometime afterwards. It was the Christ child that they brought the gifts to because he was somewhat older. He was a couple years old or so. But, I mean, the picture that you see there is that he's coming to the Christ and they're kneeling and they're offering gifts to this child that was born. And it speaks volumes because no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, no matter where you've been, no matter what authority you might have, we all must submit to the Christ child. We all must submit. And that rubs some people wrong. Some people don't want to do that. You say, what gets them angry? A lot of people, it's their pride. What do you mean? I've got to bow my knee to a little baby. I'm not going to do that. And pride wells up. You say, I'm the master of my destiny. I don't have to bow to anybody. And we have this thing going around. You know, people don't want to be dissed today. We hear that phrase, dissed, especially with the younger set. And there are some cities of this country where you have to be careful how you look at people. Otherwise, they might do you violence. And the reason they say, well, why did you do that? You know, why did you hit that person? Why did you stab them? Why did you shoot them? Well, they dissed me. Every time you hear that, that's the sign of pride, the pride of life, the pride of one's being. Hear me today, even the pride that one has, that must submit to the authority of the Christ child. You say, why do people hate Christmas? That could be a reason. Because they have so much pride built up within them, they cannot see themselves bowing their knee to a God who would be represented in this way as a child. Isn't it interesting, though, that in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must become like a child? God's entrance into this world by way of the Savior came as a child, and so also entrance into His kingdom is that we must all become like a child. Isn't that an interesting parallel? God is near. He's near to all. It's universal. All who call upon Him, you must recognize your need. And who call upon Him in truth. And I believe that that points out the fact that you have to be honest with God. If you're going to experience the blessing of Christmas in all that comes to those who bow their knee, you have to be truthful with God. You cannot cover up your own transgressions. And we have too many people that try to do that. They try to come to God on their terms instead of on His terms. Let me tell you something. That does not work. That will cause you nothing but sleepless nights and conviction. and turmoil in your soul. You cannot come to God on your terms. You cannot excuse away certain things in your life and say, think everything's okay. You cannot do that and have a right relationship with Almighty God, with the Christ of Christmas. Though we talk of the baby as being meek and mild, we speak of the baby Jesus, the one who came, he was so meek and mild. God is still a righteous God. And do not mistake the meekness and the mildness of the Christ child and the sentiments that we have associated with that scene. Do not mistake that for weakness, or do not mistake that for variance when it comes to God and his wishes and his will and his divine law. Some people do that. Christmas moves them towards God, but the Christ child, and they, isn't that beautiful? And then they go back to a life where they are living outside of the law of God, and they expect the blessing of God. You cannot do that. So when it says here in Psalms, and this is true, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, but then it says this, to all who call upon him in truth. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't just leave it. All who call upon him, yes, but then it clarifies it even further and says, when you call upon God, you must be calling upon him in truth. You have to be honest with yourself. You can't lay down the rules. You come to God and you say, God, I'm coming to you, and now I'm going to live my life according to how you dictate, not how I dictate. And all the songs you sing at Christmas, and all the gifts you give at Christmas, and all the warm, fuzzy feelings you may get as you hear the retelling of the Christmas story, all those things mean absolutely nothing if you are not honest with the God of Christmas. There are a lot of people who will shed a tear when they hear a Christmas carol, or they hear Silent Night sung. They're not going to be in heaven. Oh, but I shed a tear. I was moved. That's not how you get into heaven. You don't get into heaven by being moved by anything. You get into heaven by having faith in God and standing on his promise and living your life according to his divine law. You must call upon him in truth. In truth. Yeah, what is the blessed promise then? This is the wonderful thing. If you do understand that the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth, then it goes on to say in verse 19, he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Hallelujah. You see, if you meet God's conditions, then you have every right to claim his blessing. You have every right to be assured in your heart that things are going to be okay. But don't think things are going to be okay when you get in a jam and just call out to God and you're not calling out to him and you're not being honest about your situation or other things. Just because you call out to God doesn't mean he's going to come running and bail you out or help you if you're not honest in your life, in the way you live your life before him. Let's understand what it says. It's only when you live for God the way God wants you to live for him, that's when his blessing applies, when you call out his name. And hear me today, if you call out the name of God in a time of need, he will hear you, and more than that, he will save you. He will deliver you. It's his promise, not mine. That's the God of all the ages who has promised that. If you call out to him and you're honest in your appeal and your cry, God will hear. And better still, he'll save you. He'll deliver you. He'll bring you out. God is near. Christmas. Celebrating God's presence. That's what it's really all about. We say, I thought it was celebrating the birth of a child. Well, that too, but really, it speaks of the presence of God. It was the presence of the Christ child that made the difference back on that night so long ago. And it's the presence of the Christ in our lives today that makes the difference for us. Christmas, celebrating God's presence. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Today, O Lord, we are bowed for a few moments in your presence. I say, O God, even now may the Spirit of the Christ we serve begin to move in our hearts today. If there be some way in which we have not been totally honest with you, O Lord, convict us, I pray, right now in this moment. Don't allow us to leave this place without having made it right with you. God, come. Spirit of the living God, come. Move upon our hearts today, I pray, O Lord. That as we celebrate during this Christmas time, we celebrate your presence. Oh, it's not just the gifts. It's not all of the things that we associate with the merrymaking at this time of year. The real meaning has to do with your love for us, O God. We experience your presence in the now of our lives. And even at this moment, I pray that if there be one person, just one perhaps, who feels conviction in his or her heart, that, Lord, you'd help them make it right. Let us call out to you, O God, in truth. Because when we do that, you immediately hear our cry. And you respond, and your word declares that you will answer. And you will bring blessing. Lord God, may this be a Christmas of blessing for your people. We ask that, O Lord, from the depths of our hearts we cry out to you. O God, bless your people, because we are being honest in our walk with you. We're being honest in our plea. Christ of Christmas, come. Come, Lord. Light up our lives with your presence. Let the light of God, let his light shine in us. As our heads are still bowed, if there's anybody here today who especially needs to feel the touch of God, you know what you're going through. God's been speaking throughout this service to your heart. And you feel you need to do something, and he's calling you now just to raise your hand. That's all. Yes, amen. Just put your hand up, and I'll know what you mean. Anyone at all? Amen. God sees you. You're never lost from his memory. He has you. A picture of you. He has your picture. He has your need before him. God sees you where you are. I'm going to pray right now for you. You may not have raised your hand, but you feel God is speaking to you. You say, what should I do now, Pastor? I'm going to tell you what to do. You need to right now, as I pray, you need to submit to the Lord. Say, God, it's not what I want. It's what you want. I hear what you're saying to me. I want to live in honesty before you. I don't want to live a lie. I want my prayers not only to be heard, but answered. So I commit myself to you. I renew my allegiance and my faith in this moment. Jesus, hear the prayer and the cry of the saint of God right now that's calling out to you. You see their circumstances. You feel their hurts. You see their need. You know what has to be done in their life. God, if it means that someone needs to turn over a new leaf, so to speak, and they need to begin to live differently than the way they are right now, you know them, oh God. You hear what they're what their cry is, what their plea is, but you know their heart, and they need to make changes. Lord, by your divine power, enable them to make those changes and to begin to live in honesty before you. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you will strengthen those who feel weak right now, those who feel assaulted, those who feel hurt, those, oh God, who are facing difficulties. Here it's Christmas, and their hearts should be filled with joy, and there's nothing but sorrow and despair, and many are worried, and anxiety is filling their souls today, and I pray for them, oh God, that you would dispel it by your divine presence. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon that soul that calls out to you now. And in your presence there is fullness of joy. And begin to pour into that heart the joy of the Lord in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Pour into that soul the joy of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now. Thank you, Jesus, for being in this place. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is doing something this morning special in somebody's life. Let's hold steady for a moment. I want God's people to pray. Jesus. Jesus, in your mercy, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to be at the altar. You come to the altar. The altars are open. You need to be here at the altar. Somebody needs to be at the altar. This morning, God wants to meet you at the altar. If you think it's you, you just come. You're amongst friends. This is family here today. You come to the altar.
On my own, now that I am seen.